devolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out? You know it's gonna be a real solution. Well, you know, we don't love to see the plan. You ask me for a contribution. Well, you know, we all do what we can. But if you want money for people with minds that hate, Delhi was brother, you have to wait.
Been John Lennon's 73rd birthday if he hadn't been assassinated. I played that song in his honor. And also because I've become one of those people that wants a revolution. Not a violent one. Well, I don't think so. But something has to happen. We, the people, need to take charge of our lives and our country. There's a mocked up computer screenshot making the rounds on Facebook these days. Looks like one of those message boxes that Windows pops up when something's gone wrong with one of your programs. But it says, America was not shut down properly. Would you like to restart America in safe mode without corrupt politicians and Congress? Recommended. Oh, yeah. Hey, please. Where do I push? How do I make this start? Anyhow, in related news, it's a 3-day strike going on starting tomorrow in Washington. Supposedly 1 million truckers are headed to D.C. for the event. I wonder what they'll do if they get stopped by the cops. Because, you know, I have a little story here a friend sent me. The IRS and all agencies operate on the 2,000-year Chinese monkey program. You take a monkey out in front of the other monkeys and slit its throat. The other monkeys cower in fear for a long time. A sight of blood will make them faint. Doesn't take much for the IRS to keep the monkeys in line. real problem with most humans in the USA is they don't understand the US government just sees them as stupid fucking midget monkeys. Case in point, the murder of Miriam Carey the other day in D.C. Cop says, stop, you stop or you get your face blown off and take your kid. Most folks that get stopped by a cop now will cower in fear. Well, as if we didn't already. Maybe not cower. Certainly the fear is there. Cops want us to be afraid. Whole government wants us to be afraid. We must not be afraid. I'm Chuck Gregory. This is the New American Dream Radio Show, and I'm proud to introduce my friend and co-host, Mike Palachuk, an American writer.
Good evening, Chuck. Tonight we welcome back special guests Richard Flamer and Jim Fetzer, as well as a special, special new guest, Ole Damgaard. This is a little bit about Ole. He was born in Copenhagen, Denmark. He moved to Sweden at the age of 8. He was founding member of a rock band, custom-painted hot rods and motorcycles. He spent 6 months in Iceland, hitchhiked alone around the island in the middle of the winter. He was a journalist from 75 to 81. Went on a bicycle through Europe, heading for South Africa, ended up in Iran, helped to smuggle out an Iranian friend via Russia and East Germany to Sweden. He worked as a teacher for Iranian refugees. He did some art stuff, traveled to some 40 countries. He worked in a rehab center as a teacher, started his own art gallery. And here's something. He went alone on a motorbike in the icy winter to be part of bringing the Berlin Wall down. And also, he started his own private research into the assassinations of John F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and Robert Kennedy. And in 1990, he started digging into the assassination of the Swedish Prime Minister, Olof Palme. So we'll hear from Ole real soon, as soon as I get off here. So tonight we're gathering for the New American Dream Radio Show in Fort Lauderdale, Duluth, Chiapas, Mexico, Oregon, Wisconsin, and Ole is somewhere in Spain, and wherever you are. And I also want to mention two news notes, and we'll get right to Chuck's interview with Ole Damgaard. Chuck, I really hear some background fuzz. Maybe we can't do anything about that. I just want to mention it. Maybe you don't hear it, but I'll keep going on. This is in the Guardian. Anti-drone protesters who broke into RAF base are praised by the judge. Six protesters who broke into the RAF Waddington in Lincolnshire, home of Britain's first unmanned drones base, were described by a judge at their trial on Monday as dutiful people. He said it was only with a heavy heart that he found them guilty of criminal damage to the base. Judge John Stobart ordered the protesters to pay a minimum fine. He said he would welcome an appeal. So there's that. And also I want to talk a little bit about the nuclear resistor. If you go to nukeresistor.org, you can go to the nuclear resistor online, and you have the inside and out. You can see people who are inside for different protests. And, of course, we have the Transform Now Plowshares, Greg Borchi, Megan Reichs, Michael Wally, and also... they are in the Irwin County Detention Center in Ocala, Georgia. They're awaiting sentencing. Sentencing has been pushed back to January. Gary Eatner has just started a six-month term for protesting at Offutt Air Force Base, et cetera, et cetera. And there's quite a few here. And also Bradley Manning, serving 35 years at Fort Leavenworth. There's somebody who's serving some time for providing humanitarian financial aid to Iraqis in violation of U.S. sanctions. There's three people here who are jailed pending various charges related to protests at NATO summit in Chicago May 16th to 17th. And also, if you click on the this is my last thing here, you click on writings from prisoners, you can go through and you can find writings from the Transform Now Plowshares. Goes on to a prison letter from Brian Terrell from Yankton. He recently was released from the federal prison in Yankton, South Dakota. You have a prison message from Leonard Peltier, Susan Crane, goes back, Lynn Stewart, Steve Kelly, Steve Baggerly. So, anyway, you can go to the Nuclear Resistor and you can find out who is in prison for anti-military or anti-government actions, and also you can read a little bit of their writings from the prisoners. Okay, back to you, Chuck.
And now we'd like to welcome, for the first time, to the New American Dream Radio Show, Ole Domigord, who has studied conspiracies for some 30 years. Ole, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born in Denmark and grew up, but we moved to Sweden when I was a kid, so I grew up there. And quite early I started as a journalist in Sweden. Then in the early 1980s I started to become very interested in the JFK assassination after having seen the Zapruder film for the first time. And when I saw that, I, just like so many others, really understood that the official story that was being told was absolutely not true, that the final headshot came from a totally different direction than the one that the official story was telling us. So I started reading everything I could get hold of. It was almost like an obsession trying to understand what had happened there. And so I started looking into these assassinations. It started with the JFK, then Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Abraham Lincoln, and so on. And it just became a very big part of my life to try and understand these things.
Then, those were all Americans, but you expanded your investigations onto the world stage.
Yeah, the thing was that in 1986, like 5-6 years after I started this, the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme was shot down in the street of Stockholm by a lone crazy guy. Sounds familiar?
Uh-huh.
And at that time, I thought that I had grown up in a country, a beautiful democratic country where you could trust the police and that everything was the way it should be and there were no corruptions. And in Sweden, there was extremely little violence as well. It was a very, very peaceful country. The prime minister didn't have any bodyguards and so on. And people living in Sweden were very proud of that. So I thought that a lone crazy guy, just after the shots he took off, so nobody had a good look at him and nobody really knew who he was. But we were told right away that it was a lone crazy guy. And like I say, I believed the official story. But then, after having studied the JFK assassination and all the other ones, after a while I started getting like a very clear picture of almost like a bullet point list of, like a template of how these assassinations were carried out. They were very identical, even though the details in the execution differed. Then the way the conspiracies were conducted and the investigations that followed, how they were dealing with witnesses and how they were, the conclusions they came to and so on, they were very, very similar. And I started suspecting on an early stage that maybe they were somehow connected. I had absolutely no idea to start with. But then the more I looked into it, the clearer the picture got of how you carry out an assassination on a high political level, how you get rid of someone and dupe the public into thinking that it was something else that happened, that it was the work of a lone crazy guy, instead of that it was a violent takeover or a violent elimination of an enemy or somebody they just wanted to get rid of. At the same time, then this thing in Sweden was going on, and like I said, I totally trusted the Swedish police and so on. But then I started seeing exactly the same things happening in Sweden as I had seen with the JFK and Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King. And I got very confused there for a while, because I thought, my God, how can they follow the same thing if they're not connected? So I looked at the bullet point list I made for the other. I put very big details into these different assassinations. So I said, if there is a similarity or a connection here, then within the next 2 weeks they will go to the next point. And I think that at that point, the next point would be that the investigation came up with a new evidence pointing towards the taxi, some kind of things like that. And the thing was, I said, if this is going to happen, it will happen within a few weeks. And boom, right away, there it was. That freaked me out, because that, I thought, my God, I grew up in a country where, in a different country that I thought I lived in, because that also implies that the investigation were part of the assassinations, which they were in the other cases as well. This is one thing, if you really study these cases, you will find that the people who are sat there to investigate the assassination themselves are involved with the thing, and that the investigation is only put there to point, they went that away, that away, that away, and deal with witnesses. They will always neglect the real witnesses, the real evidence, and they will totally focus on fake evidence that is pointed towards the Patsy. And then also the part of the scary part of the investigation is that it's also put there to deal with people like myself who are, who's a truth seeker and who will not give up, then, and will approach the investigation. Then the investigation will tell some kind of violent undertaker to say, please deal with this person, scare him, make him back off, or take care of him. So after I started seeing these, that they were actually connected, the more I studied it from a higher point of view, seeing, looking at it like if there were connection, then suddenly it became very clear, and I managed to track down, like you said, I've been doing this for almost 30 years. It's been a hell of a long road to walk, also because it's been very lonely, where many people have looked upon me with a, like I was one with a tinfoil hat. And instead of a somebody who was deeply devoted into trying to find out what had happened, what actually happened, who carried it out, and who benefited. And so the more I looked at it and the more I tracked it down, back, the to my major surprise, I found that it was leading to the same power group, the same political power elite that is now, in my humble opinion, controlling big parts of the world and forcing us into this super controlled, violent, dark survey with total surveillance type of awful place. So this is because I have all of these years of looking into this, I have an advantage with being able to connect the dots with real proof, so that I can expose, this is my big passion and aim in life, is to try and expose what is going on so that we can stop this madness, because this world is meant to be a beautiful, harmonious way, and there's this small power elite, they're not very many, but they're really trying to turn this into an awful place. It's like a bully in a schoolyard that is terrorizing the neighborhood, and they're destroying for everybody. So my aim in life is to put light, just like my website is called Light on Conspiracy, aim light at this darkness so that it will open up, so that this will stop, and so that the Mother Earth can heal itself and we can create this beautiful world it's meant to be.
That is a worthy goal. It's very much in line with our goals on the New American Dream Radio Show, and let's pick it up there next week. For this time round, please tell our folks where they can find your website, and then we'll pick things up next week.
Okay, my website is www.lightonconspiracy.com. That's lightonconspiracy.com. And my book is called Coup d'etat in slow motion. Coup d'etat in slow motion. And it's almost 1,000 pages where it's very, very detailed information about the assassination of the Swedish Prime Minister. I tracked down all the people involved. It's with photos, maps, names, you name it. All of it put together, but also with all the connections, tracking down even people who were part of the assassination, and indeed it's not Mandela, were present in Stockholm 1986, some 25 years later, taking part of that assassination. And also how this same group of assassins have been so active over the years and been taking part of so many different assassinations. So this is what this book is about.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us tonight, and I look forward to talking to you next week.